Tonight, Brother Chris Whitney is going to come and share our devotional tonight. We did a kind of a switcheroo. He asked me if I would take his Sunday school class on Sunday so he could have Wednesday night. He was so burdened to give the message out to you tonight. Actually, he said he didn't think he could make it a full 50 minutes on Sunday morning, although you probably would have voted for a 15-minute challenge Sunday morning. I don't know. You know, keep that in mind for next time. So if you'll come and share what the Lord laid on your heart.
Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 15.
Okay, let's look at chapter 15 here at verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now let's look, if you kind of think back a little bit, and I'm going to touch on this. Think of some of those movies that you kind of hate where they start out the movie and then they have to go back in time. Well, that's kind of the annoying thing I'm going to do tonight, so you'll have to just bear with me. But this is after when the gospel has been preached to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are now receiving the Holy Ghost. And some of the Jews, of course, want to make them do the Jewish things in order to be saved. So that's where we're at. And some of the, we'll start back here. You must be circumcised after the manner of Moses, so you cannot be saved. But when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. In verse 3, and being brought through on their way by the church, they passed through Phineas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, that they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Let's skip down to verse 5. But there arose a certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Okay, what's going to happen there? You know, whenever you hear Pharisees, there's something going to go wrong. Which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So, like I said, here we see the Jews are now trying to add things where the Lord Jesus Christ has totally changed their whole way of thinking, their whole way of religion. Let's look here at the discussions at verse 6. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. Okay, so we had a meeting of the apostles in Jerusalem. Let's look at verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, know ye how that a good while ago God made the choice among us, that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. In verse 8, and God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, given them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Aren't you happy tonight that the Lord gave us the Holy Ghost, just like he did to the Jews? It wasn't just a Jewish thing. Now it's switched over to where it's all men can know the Lord Jesus Christ. But one point that I want to make out here at the beginning is, in God which knoweth the hearts. We don't know the hearts of people. We don't know what is in their mind. We don't know their background. We don't know where they are in their spiritual life. And we need to be careful of the things that we put on them that we may believe, and that God has dealt with us over the years as we've worked out our salvation. They're just starting out. They're at a different level. We need to make sure that we explain things and teach them and not be bombarding them and with rules and regulations, so to speak, to where they're not interested in the Bible and the things of God. Let's look at verse 9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. In verse 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So these people are trying to burden down the Gentiles with the same rituals, the same standards of Judaism, or whatever the word is. And Jesus totally did away with that. Verse 11, and we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Let's look here at verse 19. Therefore, my sentence is this. This is the decision that the apostles came up with. Therefore, my sentence is this, that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. In verse 20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from the pollution of idols. That's one of the biggest things that God always got onto the children of Israel was idols. And that's one of the things that they added to the requirements or the goals of living right before God for a Gentile. They are to abstain from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Just four things. But in this day and age, it seems like sometimes we want to add a ton of things to people in order for them to be saved. But it doesn't start out this way, does it? It says, avoid idols, which can mean a lot of different things. A lot of different areas in our life can be an idol. From fornication, from things strangled, or from blood. The last two, I think, kind of have to do with them being able to fellowship with Jewish people. But of course, the first two are straight from natural beliefs of what God wants for us as Christian individuals. Let's look at verse 28 here at the end. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fear ye well. So we see these standards here are so much smaller than some of the burdens that we put on people in the Christian faith. And I want to look back now at chapter 11, where we see Peter spoke to these Gentiles for the first time, and how the Lord dealt with his heart to change his thinking from the old ways to the new ways. Let's look here at chapter 2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending, and it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came even to me, and upon which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Now you remember, he's a Jew. He wasn't able to slay and eat a lot of those animals that were on that sheet. Let's see what God says to him here in verse 8, or what Peter says. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. In verse 9, but the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. So he was calling animals that God wanted him to eat, so to speak, in this trance, common, but God has said, not, this is something that I've cleansed. And he switches over now to the Jewish going to the Gentiles and realizing that God loves the Gentiles just like he does the Jews. And he's going to pour out his Holy Spirit on them just as he did for the Jewish people. Let's look here. This was done three times, and they were all drawn up back into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. That's quite a calling right there, isn't it? Go to a certain city, go to see this certain guy named Peter, and he'll show you. Verse 14, who shall tell thee whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And as began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Okay, so now what does it say? Once I began to speak and I got them to confess all their sins, and I totally told them all the different rules that they need to follow, that the Holy Ghost came upon them? No, he says here, who shall tell thee the words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The Bible does tell us that we need to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and that we are to repent and be, you know, and believe the gospel. Here we see the Holy Ghost came upon them before any of this, Peter even dealt with any of this. He just barely began to speak unto them. And the Holy Ghost fell upon them as it did on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God had given them the like gift, as he did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look down here at verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift that he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? This was God's moving of Peter to realize the gospel is now meant for the Gentile people. They came up with these four things. I remember Dr. Hobbs telling us the story when he first got saved, and he said, I got saved, and I'd go to work, and I'd witness to people, and I had this guy that I worked with that I witnessed to, and I said, you know, I got saved. You really need to get saved, so on and so forth. And the guy looked at him and said, well, what are you doing smoking? And I got to thinking of that. I was like, well, God didn't convict him immediately of his cigarette smoking, right? That came as he grew, and that came when he realized this is a stumbling block for my testimony and my witness to other people. And that's when God brought that conviction. He didn't repent of that when he got saved, right? He was still smoking, but he didn't know that those things were not, you know, what God would have him to do. Our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. What about drinking? Did Peter say, oh, you guys can't have alcohol? Or what about a tattoo, or watching, you know, bad stuff on TV, or listening to rock music? All those things are good principles that we learn through the scriptures, but we got to meet people down on their level and then mentor them into understanding what the scripture is teaching and help them grow. I remember my pastor, I'm sure he had his work cut out for him when I was a kid. You know, we grew up in just a little church that we go. Mom would take us on Sundays, you know, and we would sit there in the pew and misbehave and make noises and get in trouble and all that stuff, you know. And she still tried to teach us the Bible and stuff like that. And then we end up moving to Farmington, where there was a church, a brand new church, with a pastor from Bob Jones University, and that was a whole different ball game. It was a whole lot of different preaching, where he actually took you to the scripture, and he taught you the different things that are right, and how to be right before God, and he helped you grow. I can remember he, you know, would take me under his wing and said, well, we're going to have visitation on Thursday, I want you to come out, and, you know, and he would take me along with him, and we'd go visit somebody, and he'd, you know, he would just tell me different strategies, you know, kind of that he used and bringing out people's family in there. Oh, is this your son? Is this your grandson? And get him talking, and, you know, and then he'd witness to him. And he did the same thing for me. He met me where I was at as somebody that had nothing, no knowledge of the scripture, and he brought me along tenderly and patiently. I remember a friend that I had used to work for us at the campground, and it kind of was heartbreaking because he said, yeah, I got saved, and our boss, we both had the same boss, went to this particular church, and he said, all of a sudden, everybody wanted to take me aside and no, you need to believe this. And he said, and then the next guy would come along, no, this is what the scripture says, and you got to re-believe this. And he got so confused that he kind of just stopped going to church. And I was like, you know, that's kind of sad because they didn't mentor him and bring him along on his level. They tried to, you know, bombard him with all the things that somebody that's been saved for years and years may know, and dump it all on him at one time, and just totally got him, you know, off on not even wanting to go to church anymore. I remember seeing he had a little prayer table, and it had a picture of a saint on it, and I was like, "Who's that?" And he says, "Oh, that's Saint Jude or whoever." And I was like, "Well, why do you have a picture of him?" "Well, that's who I look at when I pray." And I was like, "Well, it seems to me you have the wrong person's picture up there. You should have Jesus's picture up there if you want to look at some, you know, picture of somebody." I said, "This saint is not going to save you. He's not your savior." I said, "Jesus Christ is your savior." And, it just broke my heart to see the things that he went through were just not necessary, because nobody took him and mentored him along from the level that he was. They just tried to dump, you know, like these Jews did. "Oh, you've got to keep the law. Oh, you've got to, you know, be circumcised, or you've got to do this and this and this." And all those things, don't misunderstand me, that, you know, we're not to use that as an excuse to live in our sins, and as an excuse to not confront somebody else that you know is living wrong and needs that confrontation, but to bring them along through the scriptures and to help them grow, to mentor them. Pastor Rebert, the same pastor, you know, I was talking about that took me under his arm, I remember one of the kind of campaigns, I guess, for lack of a more spiritual word, it was 2 Timothy 2:2. "The things that you've heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men." And that was kind of the theme that he was trying to get us men to have as our goal, like the one by one. One person goes and wins one person for Christ, and in the end you have so many people that have come to Christ because one person did their job to win that one soul to Christ, and then mentor them throughout life. And that's kind of the things that you've heard of me, the same commit thou. It doesn't mean it happens all immediately. I shouldn't be the same spiritual level as a Mr. O'Pager who's been a Christian for way more years than I have. The same thing is, Carly should not be as spiritual as what I am. If she is, what's that saying about me? I haven't grown, right? I should be growing more than somebody that's that young. And Mr. O'Pager should be able to mentor me. I remember Mr. O'Pager, when he taught me in the business office all the different things, we were going on about, he was teaching me the program Excel. And he had taught and taught and taught and taught and taught. And he went and did this one little thing. He wanted me to do this one little thing. And I was like, "Now, how do I do that?" And he kind of just looked over and then he looked back at him and says, "Well, line upon line, precept upon precept." And he showed me again. "Oh, yeah, I remember how to do that." You know, but it was just his patience that he took to mentor me, and Pastor Rebert's patience as a kid that grew up with just a love Jesus type church versus one that really taught the Bible, to mentor us along like he did. And like I said, the passage, 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things that you've heard of me," which Paul is addressing, "the same commit thou to faithful men." And that is what my challenge to us tonight is when you see somebody that may be doing things or act a little different than we in fundamental Christianity do, to meet them and to teach them in a patient manner so they can grow and understand where the Bible and the Scripture has taken us. Now let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word tonight, and I just pray that you would use this passage, help it not to be misunderstood, to not, you know, follow repentance and getting things right with you, but to realize we got to be a witness to those that we come in contact with and mentor them as you do us, tenderly and forgiving us. And you know the hearts of men, that we need you, and we just pray that you do a work in our hearts and lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. One of the great lessons as we grow in the Lord is learning to trust the Holy Spirit of God. that he can work in hearts. Peter, twice that happened to him in chapter 10, chapter 11, where he started to preach and the Holy Spirit came upon the people at the house of Cornelius. And the Lord, and he just kind of was stunned. I haven't gotten through my third point yet. And we got the Holy Spirit coming down on these people. Well, I guess I should baptize. He was kind of stunned by this. And this, of course, is the great transition from the law to grace. And we just need to learn to trust the Lord and give the gospel and trust the Lord to work in hearts. And then as they come to faith in Jesus Christ to teach and admonish, Titus makes that very clear. The younger women are to learn from the older women. The younger men are to learn from the older men. And so we need to make it our task to be mentors and to be concerned about those that are around us, to teach the Word of God, not teach them a bunch of things that we think. That's the worst thing that we can do. We need to teach them what God said. Amen? What did He say? Not what we think, he said, not what we think that they ought to do, but rather what did God say? And so that instruction is very good tonight, and I appreciate that, Chris.